Well, good afternoon, everyone. I don't know if we've met before. If not, my name is James. I'm the assistant pastor here at the Boat Church, and it's a real privilege to be here to celebrate Easter with you all. So we're going to be diving into God's Word. Why do we believe this stuff? God has revealed this to us, this amazing thing that Jesus has done in history. And we're going to be thinking about this today, but the service is going to feel a little bit different. So the content should still apply to adults, it's an all-age service, but the illustrations will feel a little bit more wild, a bit more crazy. So we're going to try and get the kids involved where we can. Now, one of my favourite verses in the Bible, is a good artist, a friend of mine, who put this picture up on our wall, and it had this verse, and it was from John 14, verse 19. And it's Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Because I live, you also will live." Jesus says to his followers, "Because I live, you also will live." And I think that's such a powerful thing that Jesus says. But when he talks about living there, he's not just, we're all living right now, but he's talking about eternal life, ongoing life, resurrection life. And Jesus says, "Because I have that, because I have experienced this, you too can experience this. Because I have life, you too can have life." And that's kind of what we're going to see here. In this passage, we're going through this beautiful servant song in Isaiah. I'll give you the page number in a minute. But we're going through this song and we see that Jesus, yes, he's suffered, yes, he's died, but also he's alive. He's risen again. This ancient prophecy points to this. So Jesus is coming back. Now, because Jesus lives, we too can live. And so what Jesus is saying there is we want to be on Jesus' team. We want to be on his team. Okay? And be good to think of this like football. So I had a bag full of goodies. Someone throw me a football. Here we go. Look at this. Now, I get criticized a lot for my terrible football skills, and I'm going to try and demonstrate that exactly today. And I get a lot of stick from people who are quite good at football. And so I'm going to invite someone who's good at football to come and challenge me, if you like. Now, think of it like this. When you're playing football, you want to be on the same team as someone who's going to win, don't you? So, to demonstrate that you don't want to be on my team, I'm going to try and do some keepy uppies. Okay? So, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. That's not very good, is it? Okay, let's stop doing that. Who wants to have a go at doing more than 4 keepy uppies? I know this is scary. Think of the kids. Who thinks they can come up? The crowd will cheer you on. If you're married to someone who's good at football, give them a nudge. Who wants to do this? Anyone looking around? No? Yes? Anyone? Other than Jesse? That's it. Okay, people are pointing at Chris. Chris, do you want to have a go?
Yeah, cool.
So I did what, 3 or 4? So you don't want to be on the same team as me. I'm not good at football. We want someone like Chris, don't we? You can have a few goes. It is quite. See if you can do more than what, 3 or 4 keep uppies.
Come on.
Here we go.
This
will count. Come on, Chris. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That counts. Well done, Chris. Well done. Well done. Good man. Yes. Thank you. Have a seat. Have a seat. Wow. Well done, Chris. That actually worked. Okay. You want to be on the same team as someone like Chris. He is clearly good at football, or at least better than me. If you're on Chris's team, you're going to win. If you're on my team, you're probably going to lose if you're playing football. What Jesus is saying is if you want to have life, resurrection life, you don't want to be on anyone else's team. You don't want to be connected with anyone else other than me. Because I live, because Jesus is alive, you too can live. If you're following someone who has just died and they're just stuck in the grave, we don't want to be on their team. We want to be on the same team as Jesus, who is alive. Now, we're going to get some of this from our passage. I love John 14, but we're going to stick in Isaiah 53 and see that he's gone through all this suffering, but there is success. Jesus wins in the end. So we're going to look at Isaiah 53, verse 10 to 12, but I want us to read the whole thing. I think this might be the last time as a church, up the front at least, that we read this whole passage together. It's so beautiful. Now, to help me read, I've got some volunteers. It's an all-age service, so I'm going to ask Ellie to come down and help me. I'm going to ask Karis to come up and help me. And I'm going to find a microphone. And then we are going to read this together. If you're looking for the passage, I should say, it's on page Everybody help me. 7:40. So we're going to start from Isaiah 52, verse 13, which is on 7:41 in your blue Bibles. So Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13. Ellie's going to kindly read that all the way down to Isaiah 53, to the end of verse 6. And then Karis is going to take over and read a few verses. And then we'll read it all together the rest of it. So, Ellie, you ready? I'll hold the mic. You read it.
He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. What they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Beautifully read. Thank you so much. Why don't you take a seat? Quick round of applause for Ellie. So we're going to keep reading from verse 7 to verse 10. Ready?
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet two of his generation protested. For he was cut from the land of living. For transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
Thank you. Round of applause for Karis. Right, so that's the context. We've seen this servant, this promised figure who's going to come. He's going to suffer. It's hard reading. I mean, the kids are reading it. This is hard. But that's not the end of the story. So verse 10, it might be on the screen or not, that's fine. I'll read it. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressions. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. There you go. So it's an amazing passage. There's so much going on here. And so I'm just going to pray really quickly. Just pray for God's help, and then we'll dive into this a little bit more. So Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much that you speak to us. Thank you for this amazing prophecy that's just been so beautifully read. And we just pray that we wouldn't just, have a slightly better understanding of this, but we would hear your voice and you would speak to us. And we would see that Jesus, there is success in you. When we come to you, because you live, we too can live. Because you are honored, because you see the light of life, because you create this new family, we can be a part of that today. Easter is an amazing thing we celebrate. So Lord, would you reveal some of the truth of that to us now? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've seen what he's talking about. So he's talking about this suffering to success story. And there's going to be fruit. It's going to be amazing. When this suffering servant goes through all that he does, it's going to pay off. It's a success story. Now we love success stories. Do you want to throw me a stick, man? Now kids, you might recognize this poor fellow. Who knows who that is? Stickman. Okay, well done. Some of you have no idea. You haven't lived Stickman. Okay. Let me tell you about Stickman. We love this story of Jesus because it's a suffering story where he suffers, he goes through a lot, but in the end it's successful. He has this new family, new honor, all these beautiful things. And Stickman is a little bit like that. Stickman is this, has messianic typology. Okay? So Stickman's story is Stickman, he gets lost, doesn't he? People just throw him around, and then they don't really look after him, they don't care for him, and it's a horrible story, and you throw it back. But eventually, he finds his family, he's reunited, and we love the story. The story sells millions and millions. People watch it all the time, people read it all the time. I mean, if you're young, you read it all the time. And it's just a picture of what Jesus has done here. As grown-ups, we love the same thing, don't we? Maybe famous films like The Shawshank Redemption, or Lord of the Rings, you know, where people go through trials and suffering, but it ends in success. We love that stuff. Because God has hardwired us to look for those things, because they're ultimately found in Jesus, who suffers but is one day successful through his resurrection. We love this stuff, and we long for this stuff, because in our lives it's not always like that. Sometimes I wonder, I'm not going to get us to put up our hands, but I wonder how many of us are working in a job that lines up with what we studied at university. I used to have great fun insulting my brother, who spent years and years earning a one in English literature at university, and then he ended up working in Tesco's. And I had great joy insulting him for this, as the only man who got a degree in our family. But that's what life can feel like. You suffer, you study, you do all this stuff, but it just never quite works out. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But this story, what's amazing about this story is that it works out. Imagine it was the opposite. Imagine we've read Isaiah 52 and 53, and, you know, the servant, he suffers, he's humiliated, he is wounded. And this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, written 600 years before. It's amazing. And he suffers and he's wounded, and he suffers for other people. We see how he suffers, we see why he suffers. And imagine at the end of this passage, in verse 10 to 12, all it said was, he was ashamed. He stayed in the grave. He was dead, and no one thought about it. No one cared. He wasn't honored. He was dishonored. It was a failure. Imagine it said that. Yes, Jesus suffered. Yes, he did it for our sins. But what if no one responded? Well, that's not what the text says. There is a happy ending here. Sometimes when people work hard, it pays off. Again, it's horrible when the opposite is true. I worked really hard at school because I really wanted to be a meteorologist. I was just obsessed with tornadoes and hurricanes and natural disasters. I thought they were so cool. But I have to be good at maths, yeah? And so I tried, I studied maths, I tried hard. I think I was just unfortunate. They say there's three types of people in this world, those who can count and those who can't. And it just never quite paid off. I worked hard and I never became a meteorologist. I ended up becoming a pastor. But that's not the case of Jesus. Like he puts in work, like he dies for our sin. And it pays off. People believe, they come to him, there's this new family that's formed. That's what's beautiful about resurrection, is that it's not just good for him, it's good for us. So let me just look at the text again, just remind us of what it's saying. Just these few verses from verse 10 to 12. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. So it's the Lord's will to crush him. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. Hang on, this servant, he's meant to be dead, and yet now he's seeing things? This is resurrection. This resurrection isn't some New Testament thing that's invented. This is predicted hundreds and hundreds of years before, that this suffering servant will die, but he will see his offspring. He will live again to see the results of what he has done. And his days will be prolonged. It's a Hebrew idiom of saying he will live forever. So he will rise again, and he will live forever. He will see this new family. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Again, notice that word will. It's used in verse at the start of verse 10 and the end of verse 10 as well. It's just as much for the Lord to will suffering as it is for him to will prosperity. It's the same good plan that God is using in Jesus' life and can use in our lives as well. Let's remember that. Let's keep going. Verse 11, after he suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. He's in the darkness, he has died, but now he sees the light. He is risen indeed. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. People will be forgiven of their sins. People will be made righteous. He will bear their iniquities. Verse 12, therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. This is language of honor. He is being honored here. He has a name with the greatest of all people. He is exalted and lifted up. That's his status. Because he poured out his life unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now, this prophecy would have given hope to those reading this 3,000 years ago for the first time, that one day someone is going to finally deal with their sin, and he will have a people group who won't keep failing. And we can look back and take comfort from that as well. We have a success story, finally. Finally, there is some good news in this world. But it's not just good news for him. It's not just good news for Jesus. Now, to illustrate this, I'm going to need a volunteer to hold a cup. This is going to be so strange. It'll make sense in a minute. Karis or Jesse, do you want to hold a cup? Don't spill it. Here we go. Hold that. Resist drinking it. I'm just going to get some. So, Jesus, it's amazing what he's done. Don't need that. Do I need that? Yeah, I'm going to take that. No, let's take that. Okay. Every time we drink juice, I want you to think of this illustration. Right, hold that, Jesse. Right. This is us. So, we're just kind of water, we do our thing. All humans, 10 out of 10 humans, we all die. This is Jesus, represented by this Ribena. He has risen again. He has life. He has these honors. He's created this new family. Now, again, it's good for him. Great. It's great to read of a success story. Jesus, he suffered, but he's successful. He's risen again. It's amazing. But here's the beautiful thing. What he has done is going to affect us. If we believe in him, if we trust in him, hold that. See, the water changes. It becomes like the Ribena. See, when we trust in Jesus, we become, you want to drink it? yes, I guess. Yeah, all right, you go sit down. That's your reward. You drink it. There you go. Well done, Jesse. Good job. All right, okay, we're getting there. So why am I talking about this? So throughout the Bible, you have this phrase that Christians are people who are in Christ. They become one with Christ. And so what Jesus is and what he has done and what he has earned in some ways becomes ours. We are in Christ. You know, as you can't separate the water and the Ribena now. As Karis is drinking it, she's drinking both the water and the Ribena. Now, as Jesus, he has died and he's lived again, so too will our experience be the same. See, what we're reading here, it's amazing for the suffering servant. He's risen again, but it's amazing for us as well. Because if we're in him, if we're trusting in Jesus, his experience will match up with ours one day. Now, there's so many things we could talk about, but I just want to run through the passage again and just see the benefits of being in Christ, being joined to him, like the Ribena and the water become one. This is what happens when you become one with Jesus. Verse 10, it says, he will see his offspring. It's a new family that Jesus has created. There is a new family, a new group of people who can approach God as Father because their sins have been forgiven by this suffering servant. And so we can be adopted into a new family. Paddington. Right, Paddington. Now, here's another throw, Paddington. Yes, got it. A beautiful, thanks, Jesse. There's a beautiful way to illustrate this. I don't know if any of us have seen this bear on TV. Somehow he's very famous. Yeah, Paddington, well done. I don't see all the hype. But the story is he lives in a jungle, like most bears, and he has this obsession with marmalade and some other stuff, and his life becomes a mess, and it's not because he's out drinking or anything. It all goes wrong. And then he's adopted by this family in England, in London. So this bear, it messes his life up. Maybe I'm forcing some stuff here. And then he comes to London and he gets adopted by this family. And he doesn't contribute anything. You've seen the film where he messes up stuff in the bathroom, he floods the house, it all goes wrong. But he's adopted, he's part of the family now. Paddington gets a new family. And that's kind of what Jesus does with us. Yes, he has created this new family around him. But guess what? Remember the water and the Ribena? It comes together. I can be a part of his family when I trust in Jesus. Thank you, Paddington. And that's good news, isn't it? That's really powerful. Think about it. Jesus, as he is suffering, as he's going through this pain, he's going through hell on the cross, he closes his eyes in the pain. What's he thinking of? He's thinking of you guys. Isn't that amazing? He's thinking of us as he suffers. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus is suffering and he's thinking, I can't wait to meet my new family. That's what keeps me going. Powerful stuff, isn't it? That's good news if you've come from a family where things are tricky or difficult or they just don't quite work out. Jesus says, I've secured this new family. I deserve this, but you know what? You can come into this as well. Come into this new family that is based on sacrificial love. It's a beautiful thing. What else does Jesus do here? Well, we see the honor that Jesus secures. Verse 12, it says he has a place and a name among the strong and the best of people. Again, he is highly honored. Paul, in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 2, picks this up. He speaks of how Jesus, he is humbled and to the point of nothing, dies on a cross, but then he is highly exalted. He's given a name above every name. He's a suffering to success story. He is humiliated, but he's honored in the end. Now, does that honor remain Jesus's? Well, it should do. Abs, can I have the eggs? But it doesn't. He shares it. Right, oh, here we go. Now, think of it like this. I did an Easter egg hunt the other day. I was very successful. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 eggs. I absolutely smashed it. Now, I deserve this. I'm serious about this. Like, these are my eggs. I've got these. But I'm going to be generous. I'm going to share these out. So I think Chris should have an egg. Ready, Chris? Okay, here we go. Is this safe?
If you're allergic, don't...
Hey! Good man. That's how you do it. Who's next? Anyone?
No?
Okay, yeah. Have an egg. Who wants an egg? Have an egg. Right, see, it's my honour. I deserve these eggs.
Johnny.
I deserve an egg. Should we do one at the back? Do you guys? Ellie? No, everyone's shaking their head. Let's if you're allergic to chocolate, don't eat it. I mean, why would you be allergic to it? Jesse wants one, sorry. Oh, yeah, here you go, guys. Yeah. Catch. Yeah, it should be my eggs, but I'm sharing them, okay? You're sharing. I deserve the honor of these eggs, but I'm sharing the eggs for you, Linda. No, secretly for you. Good job. I've got more on later if you want them. So it's my honor. I deserve those eggs, but I'm sharing them. And it's the same thing with Jesus. He has been humbled, and he has then been exalted. He's given the name above every name. He has a place. He has a portion among the great. He divides the spoils for the strong. He is highly honored. And guess what? He shares that with us. It's his honor, but he shares it. And we can get hold of that honor. Remember the water and the Ribena, it comes together. And so we can be honored as Jesus is the Son. We become adopted sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. Again, we can approach God, our Father. We can call out to him anytime, any place. And we will be honored one day in spending eternity with him. Our days too will be prolonged. It's amazing what Jesus has done, but it's not just for him, he has shared it, and that's why Easter is amazing. What else does Jesus do? Lastly, it says that Jesus sees the light of life. This beautiful phrase in verse 11, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life. Again, Jesus, he's been in the darkness, he's been in the tomb, he has suffered, he has died. But that's not the end. That's not the end of the story. He has overcome death. The tomb is empty. Satan no longer has a grip or can scare. You know, death has no grip on Jesus. There's no fear. There's nothing. He has overcome the greatest fear, the greatest foe we could ever face. That is death. He has defeated it. He is alive and he sees the light of life. I was talking with a dad in the park the other day, and I was talking to him about Easter. Do you want to come to church and try out Easter? And he says, well, you know, it's good for Jesus if it's true. It's good for him. And I said, no, it's not just good for him. It's good for us. It's good for us. Remember what Jesus' words in John 14, because I live, you too can live. It's beautiful. The Bible tells us that for Christians, we never truly die. The Bible speaks of us as just falling asleep. I don't know if you've noticed that. So you go through the Bible, it says so-and-so fell asleep. This saint, this person, this follower of Jesus, they fell asleep. That's because death to us is just like another night's sleep before we get placed into paradise with Jesus. So it's beautiful. Jesus sees the light of life. And as he has shone light in this dark world, this world that seems to be ruled by death and pain and suffering, he has overcome that. And if we trust in him, we start to overcome that as well. We can be assured of light. Now let me illustrate this. I'm going to try and kill the light. Oh, here we go. It's going to get spooky. Look at this. It's going to get spooky. Well, not that spooky. Right, okay, it's not that dark, is it? That's fine. Imagine it's really dark. Good job, guys. And then, so Jesus, he rises from the dead, doesn't he? He comes alive. The darkness no longer, it just can't get near this light. And what he does is people start to trust him in this dark world. More lights start to come on. This is where you pull out your phones and you start shining your lights as well. Let's see what this looks like. Never tried this before. Both of us. Look at this. How cool is this? Yes, come on. Put your phone out. Put the lights on. And it all starts because Jesus has done it. He's the light. But if we trust in him, even though he's seen the light of life, he deserves that light, we too can be a part of that light. In this dark world where there's pain, where all of us are going to die, one day he says, no, I've overcome. The light of life. You can have that as well. Thank you. You can save your battery now. There we go. Good stuff. It's amazing what Jesus has done. His suffering was a success. Now there's 2.5 billion Christians in the world who are shining as lights because they have that light, that hope, that honor, everything Jesus has. Because I live, he says, you too will live. Jesus, he didn't just die for you. He lived for you. We too can live. He was successful in his suffering. So remember that. Think back to the football. You know, the Bible talks about there's two teams. At the end of the day, there's two teams. You have the team of Adam, who fell. He sinned. He rejected God. And if we're on his team, we too are still rejecting God. We too are going to die one day, and there's no escape. There's no escape of judgment. You can be on Adam's team, or you can be on Jesus' team, the winning team. The team that has overcome death, the team that has justified people and forgiven them of their sins, the team where you are honored and you are promised paradise one day, where you'll be with Jesus, having your days prolonged with his forever. So that's what's at stake here, two teams. And that's why Easter is so beautiful, because he lives, we too can live. It's not just good for him, it's not just a success story that we read, it's good for us as well, if we trust in him. So I encourage you today, get onto Jesus' team, and if you're on his team, let's keep going. Let's keep shining in this dark world and telling people about the love that he has shown us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.